This is Wendy Bauer returning with the Decatur Herald and Review for September 28, 2015. We will continue now with the obituaries. Marion Virginia Brogio of Decatur. Marion Virginia Brogio, 102, of Carmel, Indiana, formerly of Decatur, Illinois, passed away at 5:22 p.m. Thursday, September 24, 2015, at Crown Point Assisted Living in Carmel, Indiana. Funeral services will be at 10 a.m. Tuesday, September 29th, at Brintlinger and Earl Funeral Home, Decatur, with visitation from 6 to 8 p.m. Monday, September 28th, at the funeral home. Burial will be at Graceland Cemetery, Decatur. Memorials may be made to St. Paul's Lutheran Church. Donald R. Guffey, Decatur. Donald R. Guffey, 88, of Decatur, passed away on Friday, September 25, 2015, in Heritage Manor in Mount Zion, surrounded by his family. Funeral services to celebrate Donald's life will be 11 a.m. Thursday, October 1, 2015, in Graceland Fairlawn Funeral Home, with Pastor Jack Greenwood officiating. Visitation will be 5 to 7 o'clock p.m. Wednesday in the funeral home. Burial will be in Moroa Township Cemetery, with military rites conducted by the Macon County Honor Guard. Memorials are suggested to Resurrection Life Youth Camp. James Harold Kirby, Decatur. James Jim Harold Kirby, 65, of Decatur, passed away on Friday, September 25th, 2015, at Decatur Memorial Hospital. Services will be held at 10 a.m. Thursday, October 1st, at Moran and Goble Funeral Home. Visitation will be held from 5 to 8 Wednesday at the Moran and Goble Funeral Home. Burial will be in Camp Butler National Cemetery. In lieu of flowers, memorials may be made to Team 35 Project Linus Program or to the American Heart Association. Bertie E. Slade of La Place. Bertie E. Slade, 83, of La Place, Illinois, died at 7:55 p.m. Friday, September 25th, 2015, in the Arthur Home from complications of Parkinson's disease. Visitation will be from 6 to 10 p.m. Tuesday, September 29th, at Brintlinger and Earl Cerro Gordo Funeral Home. Graveside services will be 11 a.m. Wednesday, September 30th, at Cerro Gordo Cemetery. Memorials may be made to Cerro Gordo High School Athletic Department. Raymond L. Sabatka, Decatur. Raymond L. Ray Sabatka, 79, of Decatur, died Friday, September 25, 2015. Services will be at 2 o'clock p.m. Wednesday, Moran and Goble Funeral Home. Visitation 5 to 7 o'clock p.m. Tuesday. There will be a private burial at Lutheran Cemetery. Memorials may be made to Homeward Bound Pet Shelter. Marie E. Adams, Decatur. Marie E. Adams, 89, of Albuquerque, New Mexico, formerly of Decatur, passed away on September 23, 2015, in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Graveside service for Marie will be 2:30 p.m. Tuesday, September 29, 2015, in Harristown Township Cemetery. Visitation will be 1 to 2 p.m. Tuesday in Moran and Goble Funeral Home. Debbie L. Beasley, Bement. Debbie L. Beasley, 52, of Bement, Illinois, passed away at 2:05 p.m. on Wednesday, September 23, 2015, at her residence in Bement, Illinois. Visitation will be held on Monday, September 28, 2015, from 10 o'clock a.m. until time of services at the First Presbyterian Church in Bement. Funeral services will be held on Monday, September 28, 2015, at 11 o'clock a.m. also at the church. Memorial contributions can be made to the Debbie L. Beasley Memorial Fund in care of Heinz Funeral Home, 348 North Piatt Street, Bement, Illinois. Norman Rex Brown, Humboldt. Norman Rex Brown, 63, of Collinsville, formerly of Humboldt, died at 3:20 p.m. Wednesday, September 23, 2015, at Anderson Hospital in Maryville. Graveside services will be conducted at 10 o'clock a.m. Tuesday, September 29, 2015, at the Humboldt Cemetery. Schrader Funeral Home is assisting the family with arrangements. Lois May Butcher, Mount Auburn. Lois May Butcher, 81, of Springfield, Illinois, formerly of Mount Auburn, Illinois, passed away Friday, September 25th, 2015, at St. Joseph's Home in Springfield, Illinois. Funeral services will be held on Wednesday, September 30th, 2015, at 10 a.m. at Sutton Memorial Home in Taylorville, with Pastor Mike Smith officiating. Burial will be in Mount Auburn Cemetery in Mount Auburn, Illinois. Visitation will be held Tuesday, September 29, 2015, from 4 to 7 p.m. at Sutton Memorial Home in Taylorville. Order of the Eastern Star Rites will be held at 7 p.m. Memorials may be made to the St. Joseph's Home or the American Cancer Society, P.O. Box 22718, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, 73123. Sandra K. Dottoli, Decatur. Sandra K. Dottoli, 64, of Decatur, passed away Tuesday, September 1, 2015, in Federal Way, Washington. Celebration of Life services will be held for Sandra K. Dottoli at Moran and Goebel Funeral Home from 2 to 4 p.m. Saturday, October 3rd. Memorials may be directed to the donor's choice. Helen Marie Edwards, Decatur. Helen Marie Knotts Edwards, 81, of Decatur, passed away at 4:25 p.m. Thursday, September 24, 2015, at Mason Point in Sullivan. Services to celebrate Helen's life will be 11 a.m. Monday, September 28, 2015, at Graceland Fairlawn Funeral Home. Visitation will be for 1 hour prior to the services. Burial will be at Point Pleasant Cemetery in Long Creek. Memorials are suggested to Harbor Light Hospice, Mason Point, or the Alzheimer's Association. From Decatur, Gerald Jerry Clayton Nyheiser, age 48, of Decatur, died Thursday, September 24, 2015, at St. Mary's Hospital. Funeral services to celebrate the life of Jerry Nyheiser will be 10 a.m. Tuesday, September 29, 2015, at Moran and Goebel Funeral Home. Visitation will be 4 to 7 p.m. Monday, September 28, at the funeral home. Burial will be in North Fork Cemetery following the services on Tuesday. Memorials may be directed to his surviving children. Warrensburg. Dorothy Lenore Pugh, 83, Warrensburg, Illinois, died Sunday, September 20th at Fair Havens Nursing Home, Decatur. Funeral services will be at 10 o'clock a.m. Wednesday, September 30th at Brintlinger and Earl Funeral Home in Decatur. Visitation will be 5 to 8 o'clock p.m. Tuesday, September 29th at the funeral home, with Eastern Star services at 8 o'clock p.m. by Illini Chapter Number 813. Burial will be at 2 o'clock p.m. Wednesday, September 30th at Sunset Memorial Gardens in Danville. The family requests memorials to the Warrensburg Fire Department or the Warrensburg United Methodist Church. Decatur, Daryl E. Spiker, Sr. Daryl E. Spiker, Sr., 86, of Quincy, formerly of Decatur, passed away on Thursday, September 24, 2015, in Blessing Hospital in Quincy, Illinois. Services to celebrate Daryl's life will be private in Graceland Fairlawn Funeral Home. Burial will be in Graceland Cemetery. Memorials are suggested to Blessings Hospital Hospice in Quincy. Decatur. Richard E. Dick Stroker, 86, of Decatur, Illinois, passed away at 8:40 p.m. on Tuesday, September 22, 2015, at East View Terrace, Sullivan, Illinois. A graveside service to celebrate Richard's life will be held at 11 a.m. on Thursday, October 1, 2015, at North Fork Cemetery. Dawson and Wyckoff Funeral Home, Mount Zion, is assisting with arrangements. Memorial contributions may be directed to the family. Decatur. Douglas Grant Trauber. Douglas Grant Trauber, beloved father, grandfather, and brother, passed away on September 24th at Fair Havens Christian Home in Decatur, Illinois, at the age of 93. Honoring Grant's wishes, cremation services will be provided by Graceland Fairlawn Crematory. No services are planned at this time. And now moving to more local news. Article by Teresa Churchill, Herald and Review senior writer from Decatur. State budget impasse a roadblock for rural transit. Expansion of Macon County's rural public transportation service has hit some roadblocks since the service began in 2012. But a lack of state funding, if it continues long enough, could prove to be the biggest one yet. Show bus director Laura Dick last week told members of the Macon County Rural Transit Advisory Group she knows about two other rural transportation providers that have been forced to suspend some or all services because no contracts for the fiscal year that began July 1st have been executed. They are transit districts serving Logan and Mason counties in central Illinois and Monroe and Randolph counties in southern Illinois. Most of us are running on lines of credit, she said. We have not cut any service, but I am being really slow to hire, which means my drivers are working too hard. Dick spoke during a quarterly meeting of the advisory group Wednesday in the Macon County office building. The meeting was the first chaired by County Board member Jay Dunn, Democrat of Decatur, appointed by the board September 10th to replace former advisory group chairman Mark Wickland, who resigned June 25th. Dunn had no information about serving the so-called gray areas of Macon County, suburban areas of Decatur not served by Decatur Public Transit or Show Bus, saying he needed to check with Wickland. The gray areas include Forsyth and parts of Harristown, Long Creek, Mount Zion, and Oriana. Ridership figures presented by Dick show a dip in August to 653 rides, compared to more than 690 the previous 2 months and more than 700 rides given in March and April. The numbers roughly doubled after St. Mary's Hospital signed a contract for Show Bus to transport clients to its adult day services starting July 1, 2014. No other service contracts are on the horizon, Dick said, because agencies currently providing transportation for their clients, at least those represented on the advisory group, intend to continue doing so. Those agencies include Macon Resources, Inc. and Decatur-Macon County Opportunities Corp. Communities making the greatest use of Show Bus, meanwhile, are Blue Mound, Macon, and Mount Zion. And from Forsyth, by Emily Steele, staff writer, upcoming walk to end Alzheimer's thinks of others. When Leslie Kent goes for a walk with her family Saturday, she'll be thinking of her mother as she puts one foot in front of the other. I decided to walk in honor of someone who taught me how to walk as a little girl, Kent said. Kent is the honorary chairperson for this year's walk to end Alzheimer's. Her mother has the disease that robs people of their memories as they age. We walk out of love, out of misunderstanding, but also with a purpose. She said, we're raising funds so that this horrendous disease can be stopped. The annual Walk to End Alzheimer's is a nationwide fundraiser with more than 600 walks scheduled in September and October. Last year, the local walk raised more than $56,000 of the $67 million raised nationwide for care, support, and research efforts. It has grown every year. This year is no exception. We're expecting a lot of people, said Tina Arnold, the senior manager of special events for the Area Alzheimer's Association. The local goal is to raise $80,000 for research, support services for patients and caregivers, and free educational programs. As of Friday, they had reached $48,000. This is the only disease that does not have an effective treatment or cure within the top 10 diseases in the U.S., Arnold said. An estimated 210,000 people in Illinois are affected by Alzheimer's disease, which is the sixth leading cause of death in the United States. 2 years ago, Kent helped her parents move into an assisted living facility in Decatur when they realized her mother had dementia. Now, many of her friends also have parents with Alzheimer's. The walk also serves as more than a fundraiser. It's a chance to connect with a community. Alzheimer's disease can be very isolating, and this event gets people to try and talk about it and have conversations with family members, Arnold said. There will also be a kids area, vendor booths, information available about the disease, advocacy efforts, clinical studies enrollment, and support programs and services. And an article out of Clinton by Julia Evelsizer, a Lee News Service writer. Fall arrives with Apple and Pork Festival. 4 days after the official start of fall, the season really began Saturday at the Apple and Pork Festival. Not much has changed in 47 years, says Joy Woolridge of Clinton, director of the C.H. Moore Homestead and DeWitt County Museum. That's why more than 90,000 visitors return each year. We pride ourselves in having a traditional festival, said Woolridge. We find that when people know what to expect from year to year, they keep coming back. There will always be free music, Civil War soldiers, art, and food. The festival continues today, which was Sunday, from 9 o'clock a.m. to 5 o'clock p.m. The sprawling 4-H grounds to the north of the mansion hosted a flea market with 250 vendors. Among the food vendors, smoked ham sandwiches and kettle-cooked ham and beans were the main attraction, with others selling apple cider slushes and fresh-popped kettle corn. The original purpose of the festival was to raise money to restore the mansion, Woolridge said. The first festival had one kettle of soup and a stack of sandwiches. I have a newspaper clipping from 1975 with a picture of a woman making apple butter under the windmill. We still sell apple butter under the same windmill today. Tall trees with a hint of color at their tips shaded the front lawn of the mansion, where nonprofit food vendors raised money for the mansion maintenance. Self-guided tours of the restored 1867 mansion were also available. We have a wonderful group of volunteers and board of directors that help make this happen, said Woolridge. Everyone at the booths were volunteers who were more than happy to roll up their sleeves and pitch in to help. Woolridge said that the major draws were food, vendors, and feel-good atmosphere. For the community, this festival symbolized the arrival of fall and the importance of harvest time, she said. From Decatur, by Huey Freeman, Herald and Review staff writer, bar patron charged with attacking bouncer. When a bouncer at a Merchant Street bar tried to take a drink away from a patron after he walked outside the building, the situation rapidly deteriorated. The patron struck him several times, he later told police. Other people grabbed the bouncer from behind as he was being punched by the original assailant, said an affidavit by Decatur Patrol Officer Brian Allison. After the bouncer was knocked to the ground outside Rack's Bar and Grill, another unknown suspect then kicked him in the face. The bouncer was later transported to a hospital where he was treated for a fractured ankle. The incident occurred about 11:50 p.m. September 18th. The bouncer conducted research via Facebook to identify the individual who originally attacked him. Through posts by an individual with the same surname as his alleged attacker, he identified the suspect as Jamie Sudarth. The police followed up on this lead, contacting Sudarth on September 20th. Jamie advised officers that he was very intoxicated on 9/18 and had no memory of what happened, Allison wrote in his statement. A witness told police that she was at the downtown bar with Sudarth that Friday, and she witnessed someone try to take a drink away from Jamie. She said she was not sure what happened after that. Sudarth, 29, was booked into the Macon County Jail. After his bond was set at $25,000, he posted $2,500 cash bail and was released. He was charged Thursday in circuit court with one felony count of aggravated battery, a Class 3 felony punishable by 2 to 5 years in prison or probation. Sudarth, who has 6 prior criminal convictions, including 2 for battery and 1 for domestic battery, is due in circuit court for his arraignment October 23rd. And from Decatur, by Teresa Churchill of the Decatur Herald and Review, Blue Cross offers healthy dose of help. Orlando Alexander, a 6th grader at Durfee Magnet School and a regular at Old King's Orchard Community Center, said the playground going up here Saturday was not what he expected. It was way better. The 3,000-square-foot area would contain 4 major pieces of Play World equipment, involving 2 slides, a rock wall, summit climber, and more. Orlando said the Spinami, placed later in the day at the northeast corner, looked especially fun. The people building it aren't real construction workers, he said. I didn't think it was going to turn out this good. Orlando, 13, wasn't the only one feeling amazed. Neighborhood residents watched from their porches and from almost every angle over the course of 5 hours Saturday as about 200 volunteers not only built the playground and adjacent 25-by-30-foot stage, but also made several other upgrades to the rest of the community center's Peace Park along the 800 block of North Union Street. Those improvements included planting perennials and shrubs in Peace Garden and building 7 benches where parents could sit and watch their children play. Brandon Bowie walked over from his house on Edward Street holding his 10-month-old son, Dallas, and couldn't believe his eyes. I've been living here all my life and never seen anything like this, he said. Saturday was the 23rd time Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois has built a playground in Illinois with logistical help from Kaboom, a national nonprofit dedicated to bringing balanced and active play to children growing up in poverty. Besides covering about $90,000 of the project cost, the company also provided dozens of volunteers hailing from the Chicago area, Quincy, and Springfield. The veteran of the group was Maristella Sicarlos of Schaumburg, who said she has helped build at least a half dozen playgrounds since working on her first one 6 months after Blue Cross hired her in 2010. You start with nothing, and before the day is over, the equipment is up, and you see all the children's faces and how excited they are, Sicarlos said. Local fundraising surpassed the $8,500 match needed and amounted to about $20,000. Board President Alita Graham said the extra funds let the community center build the stage from composite decking instead of treated wood and to tuck some money away for Peace Park maintenance. This community loves to give, she said. Decatur area residents also turned out in droves to help with Saturday's project, representing Archer Daniels Midland Company, Caterpillar Inc., and others, and served as team leaders on a dozen work crews that transformed mountains of mulch into a playground bed, created a pathway into the park from Union Street, and readied 10 raised garden beds for planting vegetables. We want to thank you so much for being here to make this incredible change in Decatur, Graham said during an opening ceremony. Among the volunteers was Brittany Miller, who with her boyfriend and their 14-month-old son moved into a house across from Peace Park less than a year ago. Miller headed up the Bears, who built one of the slides and the rock wall. "It's neat to think about my son, Zinedine Bea, playing over here," she said. Other team leaders included Garden Path owner Rich Starshack, who oversaw the horticultural work, Lloyd Holman of the Decatur Trades and Labor Assembly, who with his brother Dave Holman of Dalton City had the bench making covered, and the Reverend Ed Bacon, director of the nearby God's Shelter of Love for the Homeless, who led assembly work on the Spinami. Also playing the role of good neighbor was the Reverend Stacy Brohard and the Good Samaritan Inn, which hosted all the workers in shifts for a hot lunch of pork and chicken barbecue sandwiches and hot dogs. Brohard said the local businesses donated most of the food. Debbie Fitch of Decatur brought her four young children to Peace Park so they could dip a hand in paint in the color of their choice and put their handprints along the bottom of a mural to be painted along the back wall of the community center across the alley from Peace Garden. "Looking at everything going on out here gives me chills," Fitch said. "It's such an awesome, awesome thing to do." And a quick final article from Tim Kaine, the Herald and Review entertainment editor. Happy birthday is liberated. Uriah Heep can start counting the money any second. In a ruling we've been waiting on since early summer, a court decision has put the song Happy Birthday to You in the public domain. Or, as the FARC headline about the story said, the era of terrible, made-up birthday songs at chain restaurants is over. The decision is being appealed, so returned rights money won't be flying out the door anytime soon. But this is an extension of the music publishing issues that keep popping up, protecting artists, but also pinching small businesses out of slivers of profit. As the FARC headline references, every time Happy Birthday to You is sung in a restaurant, the rights holder is owed money. Not from the restaurant, but as part of the dispersion from the company that collects fees from all restaurants. Can you imagine how miserable a human being you have to be to enjoy the idea of calling up, say, the gin mill, and demanding they pay an annual fee for piping in music to enhance a dining experience? The people who end up in those jobs must be the ones the TSA rejects because they're just too nasty. And as for Uriah Heep, here's part of that story. The writers and the copyright for Happy Birthday are mentioned in the credits to the title cut to Uriah Heep's 1973 album, The Magician's Birthday. You can hear a bit of the tune with the kazoo freak out to boot starting at 1 minute 46 seconds. A documentary is being made which argues the song is in the public domain. Lawsuits have been filed, and if they are successful, there may be millions of dollars in refunds headed toward producers and even Uriah Heep. This has been Wendy Bauer, reading to you from the Decatur Herald and Review, September 28th, 2015. I look forward to reading with you again soon.